Thank you so much. Well, good morning. Welcome to BCF. It's such a joy to be together. We're glad that we can gather and hear God's word and celebrate his work in our lives. Today we continue in our study through Paul's letter of 1 Corinthians, and we're right in the middle of the section where Paul teaches on orderly worship. In this section, Paul has shared about the importance of the Lord's Supper. He's talked about our use of spiritual gifts and the centrality of love. As Jeff reminded us last week, only love will last forever. And our times together should help us to know Christ better, to strengthen us in love, and to prepare us for an eternity of life in God's presence. Love must unite us. But again, in chapter 14, Paul confronts the Corinthians' misuse of spiritual gifts. Remember, 1 Corinthians is about God's people getting it right. And in Corinth, some people were misusing the gifts that God had given them, and they were, rather than using them to bless others, they were using their gifts for their own selfish purposes and for exaltation of themselves. And so Paul deals with this, and he addresses this issue of the gift of tongues and its misuse. So Paul tackles this issue head on and helps us understand the big picture of God's design for words. We can title this chapter, Love with Words. Love with Words. So we're going to understand and seek to grasp why God has given us the power of speech and how we might use it for his glory. But let me back up just for a minute and talk about what is this gift of speech. The reality is that God chose to create all things by speaking. It's amazing to ponder that out of nothing, God made all things come into being by his word. That alone makes words significant, doesn't it? And even more, when he chose to name his beloved son, of all the words he could use to name Jesus, he calls him the Word. In Greek, that is logos, the means of communicating. And the reality is that if it's not for Christ, it would be impossible for us to know God as we do in this personal, profound and intimate way. It's only through the living Word of God that we come to know the Father. And the reality is, it's only through the written Word of God that we come to know the Son. And so words are profoundly important. They change the dynamics of relationship. God is love. And so the central reality in all of creation is this dynamic of love. And yet how important, how significant are our words in the sharing and the receiving of love. And so God has designed that our words would be a reflection of the way he uses words. And just as we've sung, we want people to see Christ in us. That happens in part by how we use our words, that our words might be used in the same way as Christ used his words. So because we're made in God's image, our ability to communicate and the capacity to both send and receive messages with words are reflective of God's nature in us. And so like God, who is faithful to his word, he wants our words to be creative and to be powerful, to be tools of the communication of love. And that is really where Paul is going in this chapter. Sadly, our culture tends to promote everything but healthy speech. At every level of society, people call evil good and good evil. There are dynamics where words are used to destroy, to demean, to depreciate. We talk about spin, which is just an American euphemism for not talking straight and plain as God intended our words. But as we dig into this text, let me say that this issue of tongues is one of the most divisive in Christendom. This is an issue where there's some congregations that say that tongues are for everyone and tongues are the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't got tongues, you're like a second class Christian and you're really missing out. Other congregations would say, no, tongues ended in the apostolic age, and anyone that uses tongues is like out of line, maybe even, you know, maybe even demonic. And so we have these poles that are radically opposite, and a lot of places in between those two poles. So how do we come down? How do we determine the role of this gift in our context today? And the answer is, as the BCF family, we want to stick to this book. One of our key values is truth. And the way we know truth is we dig into the Word of God. God unfolds for us truth so that we might know Him, we might know ourselves, and we might know how to love one another. And so we start with truth. We start with the Word of God. We want to know what does He say with this issue. And yet, because some Bible doctrine is not profoundly clear, one of our emphases is that we major on the majors. We minor on the minors, and we want love and charity for all. And so because this issue of tongues is so divisive, this is not a major issue. BCF does not hang its hat on the doctrine of tongues. But we want to understand the Word of God, and we want to use God's gifts to bless and to build up others. And so we have a position, and yet we respect other positions, and we want to treat all people with grace and with charity. You know, we're going to live together forever, so we want to kind of practice getting used to loving one another before we get to glory. And that's what we're doing here. So with that background, let's open our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 through 25. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 25. Hear God's word. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves. If with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. And doubtless, there are many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I'll be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in the church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil. But in your thinking, be mature. In the law it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. And even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Well, prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and an outsider or unbeliever enters, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called into account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Spirit of God, that you would take your word and you would write it on our hearts. That you would take our minds and change them. You would take our mouth and use them. Tools to communicate love, the love of God that changes the course of history. Move in us by your Spirit, through your word, for your glory, that people might behold Christ in us. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me share my message in a nutshell. Here's today's message. It is this. We should all desire to communicate God's word meaningfully and purposefully so that our words manifest love and build up others. Let me say that again. We should all desire to communicate God's word meaningfully and personally, so that our words manifest love and build up others. So as we dig into Paul's teaching on speaking gifts, we're going to consider first the primacy of prophecy. Second, we'll consider the problem with tongues. Third, the purpose of tongues. And fourthly, further benefits of prophecy. So let's begin considering the primacy of prophecy. Here's what Paul says. One who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, and encouragement, and consolation. Upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. Let's take a moment and define these three terms, these elements of what prophecy is. But before we do that, let's just be mindful that this word prophecy in the New Testament is used differently than in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament context, we think of prophecy like Elijah saying, 3.5 years, not a drop of rain will fall to the ground. We think of prophecy as foretelling. In the New Testament construct, this term is more about forthtelling than it is about foretelling. The idea is communicate, speaking forth the word of God in such a way, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that it blesses and builds up the body of Christ. So this term Paul uses here is about forthtelling, declaring the word of God. Three ways it does: by upbuilding, by encouraging, and by consolation. To build up means to share God's truth so that it stirs growth in love and in knowledge. To share God's truth so that it stirs growth in love and knowledge. Secondly, to straighten up, which is to correct thoughts or actions that are not aligned with God's will. This involves a challenge to change, to grow, to be redirected. And lastly, to lift up, which is to give strength to the fallen, to bind the wounded, to comfort the sorrowful, and to nourish the weak. This is how God uses prophecy to bless his people. That is, to build up,
to straighten up and to lift up. Think with me for a moment in your own personal life. Perhaps there's been times when kind of in a spiritual funk, you know, the flame of love is just not really burning. And, you know, maybe you've wandered from the narrow path of God's love and law. And you just, you know, you're not connecting to God. And you come and you hear God's word proclaimed and something begins to stir in your soul. It's like that little flame, like you get that fire and a little breeze comes along and the flames start to build up. And that desire to love God and the commitment to follow Him, to seek Him, to serve Him, that flame of love starts to grow by the word of God, and you're encouraged and you're strengthened. Or maybe, you know, you're wandering and the word of God comes and just kind of hits you a little, you know, upside the head. And, oh, yeah, I need to get back on this way instead of that way. The word of God is powerful to bring change to our lives. That's God's design. That's the work of prophecy. It is intended, the word of God spoken in such a way that our lives are actually changed, that we grow, that we love, that we repent, and that we live in line with God's glorious design, in line with the way we were made to live, and the joy of communion with God and the power of the Holy Spirit just fills us once again with joy. This is God's working through prophecy. One of the things that helps me, and you know, one of the things that this really means, and you'll notice, in order for all of us to desire this, this is not just the gift for preachers. This is for everyone. Because there are countless ways that we can use God's word to build up and to bless one another. That's why in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you remember, when should we talk about God's word? Deuteronomy 6 says, only when you lie down, when you rise up, when you stand in the gate, when you walk in the way. Like, basically, when should you not talk about God's word? You know, it just should be an integral part of our lives. But for that to happen, we need to have God's word in our heart and in our lives. So that means practically that you and I need every day to make some time and to take some time to be with God in His word. There's no magic there. It's just like learning anything. You know, it takes time, it takes commitment, it takes a desire. But as the word of God works in your life, there is love and light and truth and power to change. And so one of the things that I find helpful, I call pray ABC pray. This is kind of the way I kind of guide some of my time with the Lord. And first I pray and I say, Lord, I need you. I want you. I need a touch from above today. If I'm going to walk with you, you're going to need to do something in me. That's not natural. I want to live a supernatural life. So speak to me through your word. And ABC, I start by analyzing. I'm spending time in a text and I'm asking God, what does this say? What does this mean? How would you have my life change? How would you have the lives of your people change by the truth that you've communicated in your word? Analyze. Second is B is best. I just say, Lord, okay, I've learned a lot this morning, but I want a little nugget I can carry through the day. And so I ask the Lord for the best. What do you want me to be writing on my heart? Is there a word of encouragement? Is there a truth to be claimed? Is there a promise for my life? Is there a sin to repent of? Or what is that best word for me? And a word I can use to share and encourage others. And then C is for contract. And that's just a little agreement that I make with the Lord. Lord, I want to be a different person. I don't want to be the old man. I want to be the new man. And so, Lord, would you work in me in this area? I want you to change me. I want you to bless me so I can be a blessing to others. So work this work and ask the Lord, what can I share? How can I take your word and use it to bless someone else so that my words are communicating love from above? That's the way Jesus used words, so that'd be good if we did the same. So pray, ABC, pray. And then I just take some time and praise the Lord and give Him thanks. Pray for our needs and for your needs and for God to work supernatural power to bless and build up the body. Pray, ABC, pray. Now, one of the things that we need to do is just look for opportunities. And that means when you're at the Lord's Supper, when you're over in Coffee Connection, when you're with a friend, you know, and you can share God's word in Kroger. It's amazing. There is power even in Kroger to share God's word. At the dinner table, at the breakfast table, when you're with your family, when you're with your friends, God wants us to be sharing His word in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is God's love at work to change lives. I want to confess, just a few days ago, I was with some friends, Julie and Daniel and I, in Madrid, and we hadn't seen these friends for years, and you know, I was just looking forward to a good time, but I had not prayed up, and we spent like most of the time talking about worthless, vain things, and I left thinking, man, what a missed opportunity. You know, we have this little window with these friends we haven't seen for years, and like, didn't speak God's word. And maybe you've had those moments too. And I just want to, you know, let's pray for one another that our words would be God's word, that our words would communicate love with power to bless and to encourage and to build up and to straighten up and to lift up. And God will give us grace and our words will communicate love. But you may know, we're just getting back from ministry to Spain, and I want to take a little word and say thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. The Lord did some remarkable things. And thanks to your participation, God was on the move. And just want to share one little thing. We will have a time, hopefully in a couple of weeks, invite people and just share some of the amazing things. But one unforgettable moment that Melly and I had as we were together, we were there's a little garage area and people come in, and this woman from Denmark came, and she had been walking for 500 miles, and she came and the Lord just brought her in to have a cup of coffee with us, and we're sitting there and sharing and getting to know about her life. She's sharing her story, and it just became very clear. She just communicated, you know, one of the things I'm really looking for is peace. And I haven't got it, and I need it. And, you know, I've tried. I was raised in the church, and I just walked away. There was nothing that I could find there for me. And I communicated that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that He is the one who could not only change her life forever, but He could fill her with the peace that she had never known before. And Melly began to share. As Melly was talking, she was sharing about how God had given her peace in some of the most difficult of times. And so Melly kind of paused and said, you know, one of the most difficult times in my life was actually a few years back, my brother committed suicide. And that set our family in a spiral. And I've never known that kind of pain or that kind of darkness before. But in the midst of that pain, in the midst of the confusion, God gave me a peace I had never experienced before. It was just supernatural peace in the darkest of times. And Laura looked right into Melly's eyes and said, my brother committed suicide too. And that's really been just a burden I don't know how to deal with. And so, once again, we just offered the Prince of Peace. And we asked her, you know, would you like the Prince of Peace to come and give you His peace? And she did. And we prayed for her right there. And I'm hoping to see her in glory. We encourage her, you know, when you get back to Denmark, find a church that teaches the Bible. You need to get to know this Prince of Peace. And, you know, that Melly just spoke God's word in God's power, and a life was changed. That friend from Denmark knew that God was in our midst, and the word of God changed her life. And that's what God wants to do. That's why when we gather together, we talk about this book, because it's living and active. It is a tool that God uses to change the course of our life, to change the core of our life, to change the conditions of our life, so that His love flows through our lives and through our lips. That's God's design for our spiritual gift. Time is going really fast. I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit. The problem of tongues. In Corinth, some of the people had this speech pattern that Paul calls tongues. This is the same word used in the book of Acts for that moment in Pentecost. You remember, Pentecost is the Israeli Hebrew celebration of first fruits. And so Jews from all over the Roman world gather together and they're celebrating. And when the Holy Spirit came and filled God's people, then they began to declare the great works that God has done. And their speech was in languages that the hearers could understand. And yet those disciples hadn't studied those languages. It was supernatural ability to communicate so that the hearers could receive good news of the glory of God. And in that time, Peter stood up and proclaimed about Jesus, died and risen in power, and the offer of good news and new life to all who would believe in him. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 believed in that day, and they were baptized, and the church began. Those people on Pentecost were using this gift so that hearers could understand the great works of God in their own languages. And that's what God wants today. God wants to use our words so that people can hear and understand the great works of God. So their heart will be open. They will be drawn. They will be built up in love. Remember, for building up, for straightening up, and for lifting up in the love of God. The problem is, the folks in Corinth were not using tongues in that way. They were using them as kind of a badge of their super spirituality, and all kinds of speech was going on, but no one was hearing. Listen again to what Paul says. Verse 2, one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him. Verse 7 and 8, if an instrument does not give a distinct note, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? Verse 17, you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. So already in chapter 12, Paul's made it clear the purpose of spiritual gifts given by the Spirit so that we might have power to bless and to build up others in their relationship with God. And so there's this gift of tongues, and Paul, you know, people might think, well, Paul, you don't really understand. But so that they would know, Paul shares that not only did he have, but he used this gift more than all of them. But notice his qualifying statement in verse 19. When the church gathers, he'd rather speak 5 words that are understandable than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Simply put, tongues without interpretation don't bless the congregation. And so Paul shows us that we need to think about our hearers. In order to communicate in love, we need to consider who's receiving the message and communicate in such a way that our words bless those who hear our words. And so languages that people don't understand don't help to bless others. We want to speak thinking about our hearers. So let's consider next the purpose of tongues. Again, in verse 20 through 22, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me. So I want you to see first that God wants us in evil to be ignorant. It's better not to know anything about what people do in secret. But in our thinking, we need to be mature. And so notice where Paul goes with that. He goes back and he wants to understand, what is the source of this issue? What is the purpose of this issue? And what's the history behind that? And so as we're wanting to grow, mature in our thinking, we want to ask, what's the source? What's the purpose? And what's the history? And so he says, let's think about tongues. God gave tongues as a demonstration of his love. He says to his people, Israel, even when I speak to you in languages that you don't understand, when foreign armies are at your gates speaking in languages you've never heard before, even then you won't return to me. And so tongues are a sign that demonstrates how far God is willing to go to bring us back to himself. And at the same time, how often our hearts are hard to his word, hard to his invitation to come and be reconciled. Why else is prophecy important? In verse 24 and verse 25, Paul says, if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called into account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. This dynamic demonstrates the power of prophecy. God wants to use our words to build up, to straighten up, and to lift up Christians. But what he says is there's another dynamic going on. That even when non-believers are with us as we gather, as the word of God is proclaimed, something powerful happens. What he tells us is that the word of God is like a light that penetrates the darkest soul. It is a hammer that breaks up stone cold hearts. It is a rain that falls and causes the seed of new life to spring up and to grow and bear fruit. It is a flaming fire that burns and ignites our heart with a passion for God, and that burns away the dross that keeps us from a pure and a tender affection for Christ. This is the power of God's word. So even when we're together and speaking God's word to one another, something happens. Something supernatural happens in our unbelieving guests. Even when people want to hide, there's no hiding place. God's word reveals and transforms. There may be some people here listening today or online, and you've never yet come and receive this gift of life from Christ. You may be thinking that you've got us fooled by your smoke screen. And yet the light of God penetrates and declares that he wants to change us now and forever. No one knows the selfish, twisted things in our hearts. And yet God's word has this power. Things that we have suppressed for years can just float up in the light of God's word. So that, on one hand, that's terrifying to think things I've been hiding for a long time. And yet, on the other hand, that's freedom. Because as God brings those things to the surface by his power and in his love, he deals with those things. He sets us free. He brings healing and restoration and reconciliation that apart from his word and his spirit would otherwise be impossible. So God uses his word not only to bless us, but to bring others into communion with Christ. His word shines a spotlight on every heart. God's word reveals two essential dynamics. One, the greatness of his love. And second, the greatness of our unworthiness. And when those things come together in the human heart, then we want to experience his love. And so the Holy Spirit today, if you don't know Christ, ask Him, Lord, I want to know Your love. I want to experience Your power. I want to be changed. I want to be part of Your family. So practically, how do we apply this? How can our words be tools of love? First, let's repent when we use words cruelly, harshly, selfishly. Second, let's lay up God's word in our hearts so we've got something to share to be a blessing. Third, let's open our mouths and speak His word to one another so that people are built up, straightened up, and lifted up according to their needs. Your Heavenly Father wants you to be like Jesus, and part of that is in your speech. So we should all desire to communicate God's word meaningfully and personally so that our words manifest love and build up others. Let's pray. Father, how we thank You for Your holy word. We thank You for the privilege to hear Your word proclaimed, to read, to study, to meditate, to be changed. And I pray for us as a family that our words would be powerful to bless, to build up, to communicate love for Your glory. We ask it with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.